Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts here this morning, and Patrick Ahern. We've got a full house, and we'll introduce everyone in just a second. But we have waited how many months to talk about this next show, Bright Star?
Just a couple.
Yeah. Here and there, it's come up. I had to look online this morning to see what the show was.
Yeah, of course, not.
It's that little show called Bright Star.
Which I was telling you, I'm sure the master plan, the sheet that I have that has guests coming up. If I were to go back to last March, I know that we had scheduled a show to talk about Bright Star, and here we are now.
It was all part of the plan. I thought we would just keep the suspense hanging on for a year and 8 months, so people really would come out and see the show.
I remember right at the beginning of the pandemic, and I think it was right when you had to stop getting ready for Bright Star, and you put a Facebook posting up saying, "We're going to do this we've stopped getting ready. This will be just a couple of weeks, and we anticipate being." And I remember thinking, "Yeah,
just a couple.
That's about right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Here we are. What was it like when you all got together for the first time since? Because pretty much the cast is almost intact of what you had. A few changes here and there.
Yeah, we have six new people that have joined us, and like four of them are principal characters. So, but. We were just talking amongst ourselves before the show started this morning. It's been probably one of the smoothest processes I've ever been through in the theater. Now, granted, we were in rehearsals and we were ready to go. But, you know, when you integrate new people with people who have been dying to do this show for a long time, sometimes that doesn't always work so great.
Yeah.
It's it's meant to be that this show happen is the best way to describe it. I mean, everybody got back into rehearsals. Even the new people came in prepared. We had had a video done of our designer run back a year and 7 months ago, whenever it was. And so they had that as a point of reference. They had scripts, and they came in pretty much off book. They were ready to go musically, and it's just been... I don't know, like a director's dream to you go back into something that you did, and now we have the luxury of going, maybe we'll try this, or maybe we'll do that, or you see something new and you go, what about this?
Yeah.
And I can't say enough, you know, about this group of people. I've been here at Riverside 11 years. Included in that is 2013 Les Mis. Not taking away anything from any other show, and we've done some amazing things, but I would go out on a limb and say this is the best acting ensemble I have worked with here. There is, you know, you watch the show unfold, and we're in rehearsals, and it's one scene after another. It gets better and better and better.
Yeah.
It's just... yeah, I'm so proud of this show. I'm so proud of these people. And I think what makes it happen is that not only is everybody so talented, but these are people that I could spend a long time with. I mean, I truly, really enjoy everybody that I'm working with. It's like a family we've created, a Bright Star family, and that's only going to spill out to the audience. And... Ted, you won't know what hit you. I think this could probably be the best show we've done at Riverside.
Wow, for you to say that too, and like you say, whether it's, you know, it's you've done Les Mis on down, some spectacular shows.
Yeah, I mean, from the technical aspects to the acting ensemble, to the band that Carson has put together, and Carson has, I mean, I'll let him speak in a little bit, but he has put his heart and soul into this show. And from just trying to get the musicians on board, and we're not talking about a typical, you know, orchestra for a show. You got to have a great banjo player and guitar, and it's bluegrass. And it's got to, especially for this area, it's got to be authentic. You know, we can't fool people in this area, you know. So Carson's put his heart and soul to it, and it's just the sum of all the parts. I think every department is as strong as it could be for the show.
Carson Eubank is here. Carson, I'm glad you're here today, just because you and I go back to some of the early days of the pandemic and putting on a smiling face, and we're going to make it through this kind of thing for you too. You and Patrick have been together through all of this, and wow, to be to this point for you has got to be something too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think when things kind of came to a little bit of a halt last March, like you said, you thought it was going to be a couple weeks, maybe a month or so. And then it turned into a couple months, and then we were back with Souvenir, and we just slowly started to ramp up. And I think the original plan was to bring Bright Star back, I think, right out of the gate when we opened back up in the spring. But I think I'm so glad that we kind of phased it back in. We started with One Duets. It was smaller. People were starting to come out, but it was still distanced. And then Grumpy Old Men, which was another success. But we slowly started to build up to Bright Star. And I think the fall, I think this is just the perfect time for the show. And I mean, I echo everything Patrick said, and specifically with the music. I mean, I'm really proud of, similar to what Patrick mentioned about the cast. I mean, we've got three or four new band members as well, but they've come in and integrated beautifully, used that designer run video to kind of, it's a unique position for me too as a music director, because usually when you're doing band rehearsals, you don't have the luxury of knowing the full final product yet, because you're starting band rehearsals similar to when you're starting the cast rehearsals. But the band rehearsals for this, we've got that designer run. We know all the tempos. We know everything we're going to take just how we will on opening night. So that's been really helpful for the band, and they've integrated beautifully. So it's all coming together perfectly right at the right time, I think.
But to have everybody come in, like Patrick said, you're off book so early on, and for you on the music side, that's a luxury you don't always have.
It's a luxury, absolutely. And just like Patrick said, I think it allows us to then refine some things. And I try not to watch the designer run too much, because sometimes you can get in your head a little bit as you watch it and you say, oh, well, could I fix that? But it does give you the opportunity, because we have that kind of 2-3 week process before we get into tech that we've had, to kind of refine some of the things that kind of maybe slipped by the wayside the first time around. So it's been great.
When Wednesday comes around and this show actually starts, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of reminiscing on your part.
Absolutely. And I think it'll be emotional for sure. I think something that's unique about this show is that the band's not only on stage for the show, which has been done in the past at Riverside, but we're almost a part of the world of the show. There's moments in the show where the band is actually mentioned, like they thank the band and the cast applauds for the band, because we're kind of the entertainment at the picnic dance. So we're in costume, and I think it really will feel like one big family up on stage that's really just telling the story together. And it's a pretty special story to tell.
It is. That's the one thing Patrick talks about. You know, this show and this time. Wow. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a couple of the two main cast members from Bright Star here, and we're going to introduce you to them in just a second. RiversideDT.com to get tickets for this, 370-4300. And as you said, Patrick, as far as tickets and interest in this, you don't want to wait, because it's through October 31st.
October 31st, yeah. And we have sold quite a bit of tickets so far. And this is a two-time you want to see it kind of show. So people better call in quick.
RiversideDT.com. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning. Patrick Ahern and Carson Eubank from Riverside here, and we're talking a Bright Star that starts on Wednesday, September 15th through October 31st. Patrick Ahern, you have brought along a couple of the stars of the show.
I have the two Bright Stars.
Yes.
Yes, perfect. The Bright Stars here this morning. To my immediate left here is the star of the show. It's her story, Adrienne Hick, who plays Alice Murphy, and right next to her, the gentleman who drives her story, Douglas Allman. And before they speak, I can't say enough about these two people. First and foremost, they are just extraordinary human beings. So that makes it unbelievable. And then what they bring to this show talent-wise is just something else. So as a director, it's a pleasure to not only work with them, but call them my friends, because they have been true friends through this process. Yes.
Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
What an introduction. You're both extraordinary people. I don't know how we go from there and get any better. Adrienne, for you, what has the last year and a half been like?
I think for me, just like for most people, it's been a difficult journey. And I've been very lucky. My family has been very lucky. So, I certainly can't complain. We've all been going through it. But I have to say, the one thing I think for the whole cast that has kind of, I mean, it's kind of silly, but the bright star that we've been looking toward has been this show and Patrick's commitment to it and promise that it's going to come back, we're going to do it, mm-hmm. has really, I think, gotten me, certainly, I can speak for myself, but I think a lot of us through the last year and a half, just as performers, you know, and as you know, things shut down, things changed, and we're doing Zoom plays and all this kind of crazy stuff, and it's been really tough as performers. So this project, knowing that it was that Patrick was so committed to it, really just helped so much.
I never thought of it in those terms, but I was thinking about what for you on. I was just thinking of the show itself, yeah. but not thinking about all of you individually and wondering, does this happen ever happen?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I mean, you know, just not knowing at all. Our profession has its dangers for sure. Obviously not as dangerous as many other professions. But in this kind of situation, this unprecedented situation, we actually have a very dangerous job. I mean, we're in each other's faces, breathing and singing and kissing and dancing. And it's quite dangerous in this kind of situation. So like Patrick and Carson both said, the timing now is right. We have certain safety measures in place. We have a lot more tools, to keep ourselves safe and to keep our audiences safe. And I think we're in a really good spot. But we're really happy. I'm so happy to be back.
Douglas, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, to echo a lot of what Adrienne said, you know, this is, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel has been this show, just kind of waiting. And in the in the time since we did Bright Star, I already have one son, and then I had another son that was born during the pandemic. So it's been a very, you know, tumultuous time where it's like waiting for this show to happen. And for me personally, I took a long break from acting. And so this show is literally my first job acting on stage in a long time. So it's also like finally waiting for that career change to really kind of realize itself and coming back to the stage. So I'm so grateful to Patrick and everything that he has done to protect our show and saying clearly from the beginning. I remember that night after the designer run back in March, you know, just saying to Patrick, like, I'm here whenever this show happens, if it happens in 2 months or 2 years. And he said to me specifically, I'm not doing this show without the two of you. And he has stayed true to that word. And that has been one of the things that sort of helped me keep going through all of the ups and downs of the last 18 months. Yeah.
Boy, and the ups and downs, and y'all, you can just jump in your profession. I mean, you used to talk about just the danger with the virus, but so many places, so many venues have either closed or scaled way back, and just on and on.
And I have friends who've left the business, you know, successful actors. Adrienne and I were talking about this the other day, like people who were getting out, like taking the pandemic is a time to be like, you know what, maybe this is a time to switch careers. And I don't know, I was stupid enough to stick with it.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad you hung in there. Absolutely. No, yeah, it's I don't know what to say. I don't have any words other than just hang in there, you know. I think everybody's hung in there. And and this whole period has been foreign to everybody, Ted. I mean, I never thought in my lifetime I would ever come up against something like this pandemic and not be able to do a show. And you know, we think of it in our terms and getting this show up, but look at Broadway, look at the world in terms of other countries and theater that they do. It's, you know, and we're all still kind of on pins and needles a little bit, you know, not only from the standpoint of the virus and how it progresses, but, you know, the audiences that we depend on, are they going to come back? How strong are they going to come back? And, you know, Broadway, I know, is really concerned because those shows, you can't keep them open unless you're doing at least 75% capacity. And you've already lost quite a bit of the tourism market in New York because people are not traveling long distances. So so there's many, many factors. But I don't know. I just kind of dug in held to my convictions about doing the show and the future. And I think there's something to be said for tenacity, hope, positive, and prayer. I mean, you know, God is good. He really is. And yeah. And you know, Adrian and Doug, we talked several times during the process, and it was nice. We did Zoom meetings with the cast to keep everybody together.
Yeah.
But this guy to my right, I can't thank him enough because he has just kept me hanging in there. When you got a talent and a great human being like Carson Eubank, you know, it's easy to stay in when people support you and people are so talented and you believe in them and you just want great things to happen for them. It feeds you, and so it's not only the show, but it's the people. It's the people that I'm working with. It's our audiences. That's what keeps you going, and that's what turns it around. Yeah,
Carson, what's it been like for you? Because you're up on stage, I mean, and you've kind of seen the progression of because I think of the Christmas show where there was just a smattering of people all spread out. You've been able to almost nightly now see crowds starting to get bigger and bigger, and Riverside back to the way it was.
Absolutely. I mean, even going back to Souvenir, which was just just the two of us on stage, Andrea Kahane and myself. I mean, the audiences at that point had to be in masks. They were all 6 feet apart, I think. And I mean, I think the show sold as well as it could at the time, but it was sparse. And then the Christmas show, I think for the holiday season, I think that drew some more people, but it was still the similar setup. So I think as we continued to scale up, I think something that's just really been, you take for granted, is being able to see and hear the reactions. Because when everybody's in masks, not only can you not see any reaction, but every laugh, every audible reaction is muffled. So I think with Grumpy Old Men being the first show really back in terms of full size and no masks in the audience was kind of a breath of fresh air. And like I said, something that you kind of took for granted. But to echo something that Patrick said and Adrian mentioned too, you know, I think for audiences, I think sometimes when a theater shuts down, like so many have had to do during the pandemic, you see it as, oh, well, I can't go to the theater on Friday night to go see the show. But for us, we've lost a job. You know, people in our industry, we are without work. And so I think it's renewed something in me to just not take this for granted, and also to encourage people, whether it's my family, whether it's friends, you know, to when they're coming to the theater, to do whatever they can, whether that's getting the vaccine, whether that's wearing their mask if they can't get the vaccine when they come to the theater. And Patrick makes mention of it in his pre-show speech every night, that at the end of the day, I know some people take issue with some of the measures, and I understand people's reactions to that in some extent. But at the end of the day, we want to stay open. We want to keep bringing live entertainment to this community. And I know how much this community loves this theater. So I just know Patrick and all of us echo that same sentiment that when you come, just do everything you can to keep yourself safe, to keep others safe, and to keep everybody working and the theater running and bringing great entertainment to this community.
Douglas, what do you think it's going to be like that first show when you look out and you see just the fact that you're on stage for a show and you see an audience?
I honestly don't even know. I don't know. I was actually thinking about that this morning. Like, am I going to be able to get through getting through the show and just seeing an audience in front of me? I don't know. It's going to be. I know that when we get to that first curtain call on opening night or opening next week, it's going to be a pretty emotional moment, at least for me personally, and I'm sure for the rest of the cast as well.
I guess, Andrew, just to have an audience react to your lines and just all the things that happen in a show that, again, you took for granted.
It's, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking because you don't know what your emotions are going to do. And this is a very emotional show. It really runs the gamut. It's hilarious, but it's also, we're all crying at some point. So it's, you know, it really takes us through an emotional journey. And Doug and I talk about it a lot. We have to be really careful not to get too emotional because then we can't do our job. And I think that's what I'm a little worried about on Wednesday, like getting too emotional because of, you know, seeing the audience, feeling them, the energy coming back, which we haven't had that energy in such a long time. So, I'm a little nervous about that. I'm not nervous about the show. I'm nervous about my own runaway emotions.
We're going to come back and talk much more about this. This is an interesting show because I was thinking of you coming in, and it's a great show. And a lot of times, we'll talk about a lot of the plot and everything, but there's so much of this show that you really don't want to talk about in this situation because it's so surprising how things work out. So we'll work our way through that too. Bright Star, it's at September 15th through October 31st at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. 370-4300 for tickets or jump on to riversidedt.com. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Bright Star is coming to the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts September 15th through October 31st. Patrick Ahern here along with Doug Allman, Adrian Hick, and Carson Eubank from the Riverside and from Bright Star. Adrian, we talked about this. This is I don't know how we talk about this show just because all I can think of is just to say just come see it because it's got the message is terrific. And it will surprise you.
It's a surprising show. Yeah, I know there's not a lot we want to give away. I guess we can say it happens in flashbacks, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I think I can safely say that. Mm-hmm. So that's a really fun thing for us all to kind of play two different ages and go back and forth in time. What else can we say about the show?
It does play in flashbacks. I think it's a memory piece, and it's and what it really underscores for me is that you know the opening number of the show is If You Knew My Story, and I think especially in light of the pandemic, you know, we've all been through something, and this show sort of just peels back the curtain of just a few people and the stories that they've encountered and they've endured, and sort of makes Adrian's character Alice, you know, who she is, and learning how all these other people have sort of contributed to that story and how those people contribute to the stories of others. And it's really neat unfolding of all of these things and then watching the threads come back together.
It does make you think. It's one of those kinds of things of where as you're watching it unfold, and you're right, Doug, that you see where people fit in. It's kind of it really does. It does make you really think about life.
It does. Yeah, I find myself, I mean, I as I get older, everyone's just a piece of your puzzle, right? A piece of your story. And it's really interesting how certain people fit in. And you don't even realize, of course, you don't realize it at the time when you meet people. But I think, like Doug said, this play really, it really showcases that. And it does. It makes you reflect on how every single encounter is such an important part of your story.
When I saw it, I thought of, you know, it's like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having seen that and thinking, oh, wow, that's what a great concept. And it's the same on stage with this.
Absolutely. And what could have been, and we always think that, right? Or if something went this way, things would turn out so differently. But, you know, the way that life actually goes sometimes is exactly what is supposed to happen. So it's interesting. It really makes you think.
The show, I think, brings a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically Alice's story with a lot of shoot-off stories within the piece. But I think what resonates for me is that we all have our own story. And this musical focuses on one, but there's many people in this world, thousands, millions of people. We all go through something in life. We all have something that happens to us. But even as dark as it could possibly get, if you keep that hope, things can come out on the other side. And like Doug said, right, especially right now with what we've gone through, what better show to do and what better message to send than Bright Star? Mm-hmm. So, I didn't want to know a thing about the show. All I heard about Bright Star, I mean, I think I read a little bit about it. I knew it was going to pre-Broadway at the Kennedy Center. But then so many people would come in. I can't remember what show we were doing at the time. I think it was in the summer. I can't remember. 2015. And patrons would say, we just saw the show at Kennedy Center. And, oh, my God, it is amazing. You've got to do it. And mm-hmm. I had heard so much about it. And then I didn't get a chance to... You know my life, Dad, at Riverside. So I went up to see it in New York, and I didn't know anything about it. And I just sat there like, oh, my God. So I think I've been telling everybody, you don't want to know anything about it. You just want to come in. Mm-hmm. It's like picking up a new book for the first time and
it
just
is.
Diving into it and let it unfold. And and you're going to want to see it again. Definitely. Yeah.
Is it tough, Adrian? Because you mentioned it about, you know, just to talk, you're going back and forth. What's that like?
I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. I think as an actor, I feel like this kind of show just kind of stretches all of us as actors.
Yeah.
And really lets us showcase everything we can do. It really lets us, all the facets of us, I just love it. I love being able to, as a human being, we can look back and we're so different now than we were, you know, say 20 years ago, but you're the same person.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to play somebody else and find the traits, the character traits that are the same throughout someone's life. And I think it's one of the coolest things you can do as an actor is play a character in different ages. Or with the help of hair and costuming, of course.
Yeah.
And but that's really all. Just, I mean, there's not a lot. We're not doing age makeup or anything like that. I mean, we're just some costuming and you know, for me, hair stuff. But that's really it. So it's really just about bringing your A game and using your body and your voice it's cool. It's really fun.
And it's really fun to watch because, you know, I think Adrian does this more than anybody else in the show, the going back and forth between time periods. Just to watch that transformation happen with her on stage. You know, you see one version of Alice that's 20 years mm-hmm. later and then, in the same moment transforms into her younger self and all of the little, you know, ways that it's enjoyable watching Adrian make that transition and then seeing the through line in the character as she has to going waffling back and forth throughout the whole show. I get off pretty easy. I'm one age all the way about halfway through, and then I switch. But I hope that doesn't give anything away. But it is fun and it is enjoyable. And as someone who has traditionally always played younger characters, it's nice to sort of dip my toe into that side of myself, but then get to play an older character, you know, who has lived a little bit and had a little bit more life experience. And it's nice to be able to do that. And for me, in my career, I haven't had that opportunity to really play a character with that much depth and experience as I get to do in the second act of the show.
Yeah, I think something musically that kind of, just to echo on what they're saying, is that I think the show is so well paced musically that, you know, for a show like this that has such an emotional journey, you have to be careful to not let the audience sit in a low for too long, because, you know, it is theater. We want to have the ups, we want to have the downs. Mm-hmm. But I think C. Martin, with the book and some of the humor that he brings to the writing, and then Edie Brickell, who wrote the music, and along with Steve Martin with the lyrics, I think every time that we have this big emotional number, it's almost Shakespearean in a way, where you have this big emotional scene and then the clowns come out, you know. We have a similar thing. We have a similar thing with Bright Star, where, you know, the two kind of sidekick characters, there's this big emotional song that's heartbreaking, not to give anything away. And then the next scene is this fun number in a bar where they're all having a good time. So it's almost that roller coaster of emotions that you take the audience on, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, Carson Patrick is always talking about how talented you are.
He is incredible. I mean, I can, as an actor, a singer, I cannot speak high. I mean, he is just a force. I mean, really, Carson is incredible.
I like that.
It's so impressive to watch him and watch him with musicians and watch him with us as singers and watch him with Patrick. It's impressive. It really is.
And what's unique about it too is not only is he incredibly gifted and knowledgeable, but the way that he commands the company, commands the band, is not, it's a very relaxed sort of leadership way, where you don't feel like, you know, this is the boss, but you know who's in charge. And there's nothing combative about it. It's very relaxed and informal, and yet still very much like, you know, they're on the stick. They're following Carson. And we, you know, even I've had a couple of notes where Carson's giving me about, you know, staying on the beat. And even in him doing my scene work, I'm like keeping my eye out, because I know he's going to be nice about it, but I'm going to make sure I don't get in trouble.
Don't stray.
Right.
Stay what you're supposed to do. How difficult, Carson, because this is where I think what I'm looking forward to, just the fact that it's bluegrass.
Yeah.
I've never seen you do bluegrass before.
And to be honest with you, Ted, I have not. But I think one of the things that I think I have to rely on in this show, first of all, I mean, it's written in a way that it is musical theater at the end of the day, but the sensibility of the style of the show, I mean, I rely heavily on some of the musicians we have in this band are excellent bluegrass musicians, particularly the banjo player. I mean, it's been a saga to find this player, and a huge thank you to Patrick. I mean, it would not have happened without him. This guy's actually from Nashville, and he's the real deal. I mean, he's played with Dolly Parton, he's played on the Grand Ole Opry stage. And we went, I mean, that, not that there's a many good banjo players in this area, I don't mean to speak ill of any of them, but it's a unique position where you need somebody that can read music, that understands that they're in a show where they're supporting a vocalist, it's not the banjo show.
Yeah.
And so somebody, it's a unique position, and having somebody as strong as Mark Barnett, along with a great guitarist and Brad Gunson and the string section that we have, I mean, they're really what's providing that authentic sound that I think the show is so beautifully orchestrated to bring. And so my job is basically just to keep the train on the tracks at that point. But with the band on stage and the three of the band members will be on the house unit that's kind of on the turntable that Patrick's mentioned, and then we have band members in other little satellite locations around the stage. So that'll be an interesting thing during tech, to just kind of keep all of the numbers together with musicians in different locations. But with 21st century technology and conductor cameras and monitors, we'll figure it out.
Wow, I never even thought of that. There's a lot more to this show than just putting the actors on the stage and go.
Now, speaking of Mark Burnett, you've just given me an idea. Maybe Dolly Parton comes to Riverside at some point.
Yeah.
But maybe I get Dolly's number from Mark Barnett, and she can, you know, I'm trying to get Steve Martin to come and see this show. And he's going to be in Richmond on the 22nd of October. So I have already put out feelers, but, you know, maybe somebody's listening to 1230 WFEA. If you've got any connections to Steve Martin, or put it out on Twitter, or send it out there and say, Steve Martin has got to come and see this production of Bright Star at Riverside, especially just come a day early. You're only 50-some miles away from Richmond. And you'll be very proud of this show, Steve Martin. You need to come and see this show and how excellent it's going to be. And we're doing it on a turntable, so, you know.
That's a whole nother thing. And because the show goes back and forth so much, I guess that's why I'm guessing you're doing that.
Part of it, yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. But you know, Ted, put the word out now.
Steve Martin, we want him here
on the 21st of October. Yeah. I'll even go pick him up. I'll drive him to Richmond.
I'll drive both of you to Rich. I'll drive you along. So
maybe Dolly would come and see it with him, and you know.
So she would see what Riverside's all about.
You put it out there, right? And it can happen. So
that's one thing. I mean, you dream big.
You have to.
And
I was taught that way back when.
It rarely has. It rarely hasn't happened. So that wouldn't that be something?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had Sally Struthers here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
She's working on it for me. So you know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? It is a Bright Star at Riverside, September 15th through October 31st, 370-4300 for tickets, 370-4300 or riversidedt.com. Quick break, and we will wrap this up this morning with Patrick Ahern, Douglas Allman, Adrian Hick, and Carson Eubank on Newstalk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EB Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts and Bright Star, September 15th through October 31st. Don't wait, 370-4300 or riversidedt.com. Douglas, as we wrap this up or start to wrap this up, any part of the show that really is speaks to you and is a favorite part of the show? I know it's hard to do that.
I have one, and I literally cannot talk about it.
Okay.
Because it is. If I tell you anything,
he'll have to kill you.
If I tell you anything about the show, it will, or anything about this particular part of the show, it spoils the entire thing.
Well, then I'll ask you this way, and I'll ask Adrian this the same thing. What do you hope people walk away from from Bright Star?
You know, I think. I think it really does come down to, this is a show that is about family and forgiveness, and that hope that comes from reconciling yourself with your past. And I think there's so much heart work that we need to do as people to, you know, in our communities and within our families, especially in light of everything that everybody's been dealing with, that it, you know, what it really comes down to at the end of the day is like seeing the other person across from you as a person and learning to love them as they are and deal with all the other stuff that comes with it. And I think that's part of our show. It's something that my character and Adrian's character really, really have to come to grips with. And I think it's, you know, I think that's the light and the goodness that comes from having those moments and really looking past, seeing people as the people as they are and looking into their story and saying, oh, now that I know more about you, I can understand you a little bit better. Yeah. I think that's a key part of the message of our show. And I really hope that people will take that away and think, you know, and it's something as stupid as like me on my drive home to 95 on 95 when someone's doing 70 and, you know, going, you know, someone's driving nuts on the road thinking like, you know what, maybe it's not just because they're a jerk. Maybe they've got something going on. They've got something to deal with. Even something as stupid and simple as that might be, if you could come away from that with our show, I think that that'd be huge.
How about you, Adrian?
Well, my favorite part of the show actually is at the very beginning, and I can say this. Anytime, as much as I love being on stage by myself, I really love when everyone is on stage together. And so for me, my favorite part is at the very beginning when we're all on stage together. I get to sweep the entire company. I get to look at every single person in the eyeballs, and it's awesome. I just want to say, regarding what I want people to come away with, I think very similar to Doug. This show to me is all about grace, and it's about how you handle your life and handle what's thrown at you, and can you come out of it in a graceful way, and can you be graceful toward other people? And to me, that's kind of what I see the show in, like a bubble of grace. And I just also want to say, like, we sang Carson's praises, but we can't leave without singing Patrick's praises.
No.
Because
no.
I mean, I have never seen somebody so committed to their theater before. And, you know, Patrick and I have a lot of people in common, and we have a lot of shows in common, but I've really never seen anything like it. And you know, sometimes I say the community gets the theater it deserves. And I love Virginia. I spent my college years here, and I haven't spent a lot of time in Fredericksburg, but this must be a pretty great community to have Riverside Theater, because that is, if that's the theater they deserve. It's really, it's just so impressive. And, you know, we talked a lot about pandemic, and we did, you know, we watched a lot of theaters not be able to survive, and that's not their fault. You know, it's unprecedented what happened. Who puts you know, resources away for what we went through?
Yeah.
But to watch Riverside and Patrick navigate this in the way that it did and come out even more successful than we could have imagined, I think, or that anyone could have imagined, is so incredible. So thank you.
And yes, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you for keeping the show alive.
When you've got good wind at your back, you do what you do. And there's a lot of good wind right in this room right now. So
you included, Ted.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I mean, and Patrick brings everybody through here, and we've had some great shows, but he is right. You two are extraordinary, and I can't just the key, not only because everybody comes through here generally has great, there's chemistry, but there's something about you two, and I can't wait to see it on stage. September 15th through October 31st, 370-4300, Bright Star at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, riversidedt.com. You always say, Patrick, don't wait.
Don't wait. Come and see this show. I've said it to the audiences during Grumpy Old Men. If there's one show that you can see for the next 2 years, make it this one. Yeah.
RiversideDT.com, RiversideDT.com, Bright Star, September 15th through the 31st. Thank you for listening. We'll see
Thanks,
you morning.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA. From studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station. It's 9 o'clock.